Good evening. After a little bit of a technical glitch there that was discovered, we're going to start this over. It is Intuitive Soul Radio, and we have two guests this evening. And our first guest is Helen Williams of PlaceRight.com. And welcome, Helen.
Thank you.
And I know that this is going to feel like a little bit of a repeat, but let's let's go through this again. Unfortunately, with the technology the way it is, sometimes this happens. So at least it was caught, you know, before 10 minutes has gone by. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the journey that brought you here and how you have, you know, progressed on to where you are now. Like,
okay.
What started it?
What started the journey? Oh, you know, I mean, I'm sure it started lifetimes ago.
Well, this is true.
But in this lifetime, I always wanted, I grew up on a ranch in South Dakota, and I knew I always wanted to leave. And then I went along through my life and grew up, fell in love, got married, had a baby, just one. And then I said, oh, you know something, I'm not happy. So then I kind of had to say, okay, what am I going to do? So I left the marriage. I left, not the baby. He's now a grown young man, wonderful young man.
Yes, he is.
And I started over. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just say I had to leave what I was doing and set out on my own, set out, leave the work I was doing, leave the marriage, and say, what do I want to do now? And find it. And through, I thought maybe I would go. I discovered that I was interested in something like architecture. And then I found feng shui. I knew about feng shui because I'd been to Hong Kong, so I knew such a thing existed. But I found some writing in the early, in about 1990, that was what I was interested in about feng shui. And I said, okay, well, this is what I want to do. So I was doing a corporate job at the time, and I pretty well left it hardly before I'd had any training. Went and got my training and started doing feng shui.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you jumped right in.
I jumped.
Or left or something.
I did, yeah. I was, what do we say, impulsive.
Yeah, you know, but I think that's sometimes the way when you know that that's what you want to
yeah.
do, and
yes.
you feel that yourself resonate at that place.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to do it.
You just have mm-hmm. to do it.
Just do it, as the saying goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pretty powerful saying.
It is. It
you
is.
Know, you know, they've really taken the market on that one, because
yeah.
it's probably one of the most powerful sayings of all.
Yeah, and looking back, I say, oh, the risks I took. But, you know, I did it, and it brought me to a place. I mean, that's been a lot. That's been sort of 1990. That's been 15, 18 years now. And I sort of rode the cycle of the, there was a fad. There was a feng shui fad. I rode that cycle. That has passed now, but feng shui is still there. It's there in a different way. I think everybody knows about that. What's the great thing about that? Everybody knows about it, and
mm-hmm.
everybody knows they have to clear their clutter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came out of that, you know. And then the whole energy side of things, people are becoming more and more aware of that.
Yeah. So you've also written a book, and that with what we hear, it will probably be released sometime in 2009. But, you know, it's finally, it's taken its own cycle of time, which we were sort of talking about earlier. But
very much. But yes, it's taken far more time than I ever anticipated. And I was ready to go. I was gung-ho. It was all going to happen. And then it didn't happen. And I finally gave up. I said, this is really not going to happen. And now they've resurrected it. That's Tuttle will publish it. And probably, maybe in spring 09, maybe in fall 09. They're just,
right.
they're really just gearing up.
Right. And that's exciting. Because it's, you know, it's your work. And it's not your only work, because I think you're probably going to do more, but it's the first.
It's the first. It's the first. And it'll be coming out at a totally different time than I anticipated. I anticipated
yeah.
it would be part of that. There was a time when
Wave.
You could go on Amazon and find, I don't know, 200 some feng shui books. And I just assumed I would be part of that. But and I don't know. I haven't checked Amazon recently, but it'll be part of a different wave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or a different flowering.
Yeah. And what's, do they change the title when the editing go in, or what's the title?
I'll tell
point?
You what. There's I'm working with them on that right now.
Oh,
because
okay.
the intent, there's good material in there about feng shui for home, business, and garden. And it's solid in all three realms, and it's all in one book. And they want to make it feng shui solutions for home, business, and garden, which is very true, practical, and accurate. And I took a lot of photographs for the book, and they're going to have everything done in watercolor and add more art. So it's going to be really, it's going to look
nice.
Really nice, the book. And I also now want to put, because this is where I'm seeing feng shui in my own experience these days, I want to also have on the front cover somewhere, conscious living for the modern age. Feng shui and conscious living for the modern age.
Right. It sounds great. Now, your focus, that everything that I have read about you, your focus is kind of more on the structure and the architecture of a building than necessarily, you know, the inside. Although, obviously, you know, you've done workshops, you've done things on, you know, how to change the inside. But it seems like you have a bit of a different focus.
It's interesting. The whole question of the structure of the building. the way that happened is, as I learned to connect with the energy of places, that's what I started to experience. That's what I started to feel. That's what I started to be aware of the energy of the foundation, the walls, the floors, the ceiling, the earth, and what was underneath it. If there was something under the basement that was, the energy was feeling unusual. If it was water, if it was some kind of earth energy, I started feeling all of that. And if there's something in the place that's bad history or violence or any of those kind of bad experiences, that will prevent me from connecting with that. So it all does interact with itself. But yes, that whole, and therefore I enjoy working with people to build a place from sort of, you know, from an empty property to digging and pouring and constructing. I do very much enjoy doing that.
So you actually generally only feel it once it's balanced.
Let me put it, if there's a lot of, say we're on a battleground, so what was formerly a battleground, if I'm in there, there's so much energetic interference that I can't connect with the energy of the place. What we're looking for is we're looking for a place that has the structure, the solidity, the stability to hold energy. And that's a concept that we've kind of lost in the way we construct nowadays. If you go to some old European buildings or stone buildings, they hold a lot of stuff, but they also will hold the energy, and they'll hold the history of a family. You know, they'll hold the history of a family for hundreds of years, for generations. We went, you and I both had the experience not too long ago of going to a building at the University of Toronto called Heart House. And there was a session that we did there. And usually when I feel a building is balanced, I can feel the whole building. This building was so solid. I came into the room and I simply felt the fullness of energy in the room. The whole thing was stone. The walls were stone, very thick stone walls. There were hundreds of people in the building that day. There was no floor shaking. There was no rattling happening when people were walking through the building. The building is so solid that it completely holds the energy. And there was a vaulted ceiling in that room as well. So all of that, it was the room itself, and we're just not even accustomed to having that experience. It's like walking into a castle in Europe or that sort of thing. We're just not accustomed to that sort of thing. And I will also tell you about my own home, which is, I'm in a condominium, and it's on the sixth floor. It's not a high rise, and for that I'm grateful, actually, but it's on the sixth floor, and it's a southwest corner, so I've got floor-to-ceiling glass on two sides, which the light is wonderful, and that's what drew me to the place immediately. But holding the energy in there, let me tell you, that's taken some time. And, you know, here I am now. So it can be done. But if you want to wait 15 years, you want it to take 15 years, that's a long time. Now I go into my home and I feel the energy. That's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting to go in there, and I walk in and I feel the energy is there for me. It's nurturing me. It's when I'm spending time there, it regenerates me. That's what I want to have that experience. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm always aiming for, is to, in my own place and in places I go, is to create that experience. Mm-hmm. And if you have good architecture, good engineering, solid construction, it helps that to happen. The floor-to-ceiling windows don't necessarily help that to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just because the energy can flow out.
Sure.
It's too easy for it to flow out.
Sure. And I think you also mentioned that, you know, you're finally feeling good and now it's time to move.
Doesn't it always happen that way? You know, you get everything, you paint and then you move, or in my case, I've got the energy where I will. And plus, in an apartment building, you know, it's, you kind of have to fill the whole building up before you get to benefit from it.
That's right. You're dealing with everybody else's
energy. You're dealing with everybody else's energy as well. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to, it takes time to sort of make your mark and to do. And I leave sacred music playing in there all the time. I don't always leave candles burning, but I'm always leaving sacred music playing in there. And I do light a lot of candles and burn a lot of incense. And one day sooner, and pray and meditate a lot in there. And sooner or later, one day, it seems to have had its effect.
Which is very cool. Okay. So why don't we talk a wee bit about, you know, how do you help, like, a home or with feng shui, how do you help so that people maintain a consciousness, or people, like, how does it all flow together with evolution and consciousness, and how a home will assist that?
You know, one thing I just that this brings up, which I wanted to say, you know, a lot of people are doing a lot of good things in terms of sort of experimentation and growth and unfolding, and people who have lovely energy often have lovely homes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll be like, oh, what's wrong with my place? And you kind of have to say, you know, your place is pretty good. And nobody believes that's true about themselves. So that's one aspect of it. One aspect of it is...
So our own self-doubt, is that what you're saying? Like our own...
Well, and also, you know, there's so many rules in feng shui, and there's so many, I wasn't supposed to do this, and what about that, and how about, and have I done this right, and have I put the mirror in the right place, and all of these kind of things. And you say, you know what? It's pretty good. It's pretty good what you've done and what you've created. So that's one aspect of it that I see. I see people who are sort of don't really have to worry. Other people get, and as far as our own evolution is concerned, I'm sure we attract these things because it's what's required for our growth. Mm-hmm. But sometimes what's required for our growth is to attract a place that has a lot of problems and to figure out how to deal with them. I'm just coming to my mind as I think about it, a lady who was a therapist who had a son who was, her therapy room was in the basement. And the son was another client. So let's not go there. I mixed two of them up because there were two sons in the basement. But this lady had her therapy room in the basement, and it was the son of the previous owner that had been in there, who had been into some of the stuff that kids get into that's not really cool.
Yeah.
You know, that's better that you not be into that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. This son had been into that sort of nasty stuff. And in her room was now not a good place to have therapy.
Right.
It was not a good place. What she did, and she had already put in a new carpet, she'd already got it all set up, and she said, this is not working. She stripped everything back to the wall. She put sealer, like she put layers and layers of sealer on the wall. She put foil on the walls, shiny foil on the walls facing out. She put lots and lots of layers of padding under the carpet. She put paint on the walls with special sort of crystal in the paint. You know, she changed the room around. She got the energy in the room so it was okay. Why do we attract these things? I don't know. You know, but you kind of have to follow it through. And people know when they have a problem. People know when something's not working. You know, I've never felt at home in this place. And some people are more aware than that. They know there's entities, or they know there's all kinds of stuff that can happen. So in the dealing with those, you somehow it's a process. It's a learning process and a growing process. So that's one aspect of it. That's one aspect of this sort of. And then another aspect of it is, we want homes and spaces to work in that are nourishing, nurturing,
supportive,
like
really
exactly
there for us, yeah.
Exactly. We want places that feel good and that make us feel good,
safe
and at home. Like, we do have a protection. I'm thinking of another place where a lady said had been there for 7 years, never felt home. You know, it's a long time to be in a place and never feel at home. And then you go in there and work and you say, oh, well, I can see why that would be the case. Nobody could sleep there. They were all very bad dreams everywhere.
Oh dear.
And so it was like, who sleeps where in this house? And it was just because they were trying to find a place to sleep where they could sleep without having nightmares. And it wasn't a hard place for me to clear.
Right.
And I had an email on the Monday morning saying, oh gosh, you know, I had good dreams. I had good dreams last night. And and my daughter came down on her own for the first time ever. Kind of thing. So just that shift, finally a person. And if you take it back to this idea of the structure, so if the energy fills up the structure of the home and actually enlivens that whole sense of feeling at home and protection, if you're not having that there, it's like being out and exposed to the elements all the time.
Yeah.
Which you don't want.
No.
Which isn't good.
Which is kind of like when you're in a place that's all glass, is that what you mean? Like, is that?
No, I just mean, even though the physical bricks and mortar are there, if the energy's not there, you still don't feel at home.
Mm. Yeah, I guess that's true. You know, it's one of those areas that, you know, it's funny because feng shui has been around for a while and there was that huge wave. And I still think that sometimes people don't think about their home that much. Like, they don't really put that kind of energy into, you know, what's happening in my home. Am I feeling, you know, really positive where I am? Am I feeling safe? Am I feeling secure? Am I feeling nurtured? Somebody had said once, you know, to me, like, you know, I hold the energy for the whole place and you've never actually been nurtured yourself. And it's like, well, no, I wouldn't even know what that would feel like, because I've always held the space for everybody. So I've never had been in a place where it's actually nurtured me. Right. And I think, you know, and I'm sure that's, you know, part of my own journey and my own karma. But, you know, when it was Bart, when he had said it, it was like, oh, well, no. And he goes and he looked at me, he's like, you don't even know what that would feel like, do you? And I was like, no. And I never really thought about it, but it's like, no, I have no idea.
Do you feel nurtured in this place?
Well, this was the place. But so I cleaned out everybody.
Uh-huh. Oh,
everybody
right.
Laughed.
Okay. 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 There you go.
But I was going to ask, like, how do you, you know, when you, if you're renting and it's not your place, you know, how do you set up, like, you know, you don't have choice about where the entrance is, you know?
No.
And you don't have choice, you know, because obviously if I was on the first floor, I'd have the front
door
as my entrance. Mm-hmm. But because I'm on the second floor, which is a preference to me, because then I don't have anybody above me and I don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, there's the side entrance and it's a different energy, of course, with regards to feng shui.
Yeah, but it's still, it's not, it doesn't mean it's absolutely, it's wrong or bad.
No,
necessarily.
No.
No. No reason it can't be whole and full and good and balanced. And well, it's on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's on that journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess, you know, learning the different dynamics of feng shui, because to be honest, I don't know a lot about feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do a different type of clearing and I do a different type of work and it's completely different.
Yes.
I certainly understand the whole clutter bit. And I know that when my clutter starts building, which, you know, I'm getting to that place because, you know, it's getting to be taxes time and I don't want to move anything right now because if I switch it around, it won't know where it is.
Yes.
So I look at my stuff and go, oh dear, it's starting to clutter, and, you know, and I feel that energy, like I can feel that.
Yes.
You know, when you have those moments.
Yes, and without, and I maybe put us on a road that, I mean, without sort of really spending time with the place, I wouldn't say that it's a bad place or a wrong place, mm-hmm. or that there doesn't have tons of potential.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of places do have a lot of potential.
Yeah. No, and I think sometimes, you know, it's the area as well.
Yes.
I feel very connected with the lake.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, I have to be close, somewhere close to the water.
Makes a tremendous difference.
Well, for me, it does.
Yes.
I mean, I think, you know, everybody has their, you know, their quality that they are very connected with.
And I think this sort of energy from the water is very desirable in a general way.
Mm-hmm.
In a general way. There's a cleansing that happens when that water, that energy comes off the water, which influences us whether or not we're consciously aware of it. And therefore, it's a desirable place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So let's go back to so what it means to build a place that holds energy. Like when you're really wanting to really go more again into the architecture, like
mm-hmm.
you would like
mm-hmm.
to. That's kind of. And we talked about whether it's your passion or not, but mm-hmm. it seems to be. You know, where you feel most that you could do the
mm-hmm.
most benefit to,
mm-hmm.
you know, really feeling that structure. Now, probably we're never going to be able to do what like the ideal environment, like Hart House, where it's, you know, that solid foundation and like that
60 feet
of,
rocks
yeah,
or stone foundation or whatever it is.
But, you know, using what we use, I'm assuming that can still all flow and still feel that.
There's a lot of variety in building materials.
Right.
Like making a thicker foundation than we normally would do, and framing with something bigger than 2x4s, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
It really makes a difference. It makes a more solid thing. Those are things, and sometimes we put foil. If there's any kind of disturbance from earth energy, we can put foil insulation,
mm-hmm.
Shiny side down underneath the basement pad. All of these things make a difference in terms of creating a solid structure.
Very cool. Have you worked with architectures in the past? Like
I have. I've worked with people who have built homes, and there's a building system out there now that I think it's called Blue Max, if I remember correctly, where they've got insulation together with the foundation. It comes in blocks, and then they also pour. I don't remember how it all works. Made a very solid foundation, and. Engineering, you know, how the weight is distributed. I'm working with somebody now who's renovating a place, and they had renovated it 20 years ago, and the basement, and filled in some of the basement because they had changed the footprint a bit. So now you've got, and then they put two wings on it, and they didn't really excavate under those wings. So you've got a very deep basement in the old part of the house, and then you've got two wings that just have crawl spaces under them.
Mm.
It makes a difference. The energy of the whole energy of the house does not hold together the way you would want it to do. What you want is for the energy of the whole place to be one thing. You want the whole place to have one energetic identity. But when it's got different levels of basements and different levels of roofs. The center part has a roof here. It has one roof. And then one of the wings has a roof that continues from the center. And that works better. But then you've got that basement under there on the one side that's not really there. And then the other wing has a much lower roof. So there's an after thing that we do, which is we take copper tubes filled with crystal or sea salt. And we put them in the corners, all the exterior corners. And when I did that, I was quite interested at the transformation, because I'd been going into this place many times thinking, how is this going to work? How are we going to get the energy to sort of hold together?
Right.
When we put in the copper tubes, it did shift. Somehow the energy went underneath and encompassed. It's never going to be as good as a place that was fully excavated, but the energy went underneath and encompassed the entire structure in a much, at least underneath, in a much better way. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that sort of thing doesn't always work. I can think of another place where it's a side split and it's got 2-3 different levels of basement, and that one has copper tubes and it never did that. So you don't control the energy.
Yeah.
You know, you do what you know how to do, mm-hmm. and sometimes it changes, sometimes it doesn't.
Wow. Well, at least people are more aware, and at least people are trying to, you know, find ways to make it this place, this solid energy that is theirs. And I think, you know, maybe that's the key to all of this. But it would be fun to feel a home that has actually been built with that, with that purpose.
Yes,
in mind.
Yes.
I bet it feels very different.
Well, you feel it, and you also, I've talked a lot about sort of feeling the structure, the exterior structure, but then you also walk in and it greets you.
Mm-hmm.
It greets you as you walk in the door.
Nice.
You sort of, it reaches out to greet you, and right. anybody who felt energy would feel that.
Yeah.
You know?
Nice. So, you kind of talk about, you know, emphasis on meditation. That's something that is very much who you are.
Mm.
And I'm assuming that that's what you would do to incorporate what you do when you go into a home, so you get that strong balance within yourself so that it assists you. And you talk about, you know, direct clearing and balancing of energy of a place. And is there anything else, like you say that there's structure with symbolism, and like, is there anything else that you would like to talk to people about as we, you know, get close to the end of the interview, but, you know, something that is really who you are that you want to bring out?
Well, I don't want to imply that I've said everything there is to say about feng shui. I've very much talked about my experience of connecting with the energy of properties and what I find that people are interested in when people take classes. That's not to say that we don't talk about the feng shui that I was trained to do is more focused on the bagua than it is on the compass, but talk about the areas and the symbolism of those areas and that sort of thing. So that's a whole thing that I haven't focused on, partly because most people do focus on that.
Right.
And that's not to say that I don't honor it. Mm-hmm. And
so that would be the difference between the bagua, did you say?
There's different approaches to feng shui, one of which are bagua is in our hearts, as Professor Lin says, or with just using a compass and doing it solely by the direction that you face, all of those. And if you think about historically, that's all based on watching nature. That's all based on saying, okay, we live in the Northern Hemisphere, so the light from the Southeast is really nice, and that's a good place to have your good place to focus. And if you study architecture here, you'll probably learn the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very good. So do you have any workshops or anything coming up or planned for 2008?
I'm not doing a lot of workshops at the moment. I teach a class at Ryerson University in Toronto. So if you happen to be in the Toronto area, the 30th of April through, I think it's the 3rd of June, it's 6 Wednesday evenings, 3-hour classes, which goes over all the basics in addition to some of the things that we've talked about this evening.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
That's exciting. So let people know how they can reach you and contact you.
www.placeright.com. I have a website, and I'm available there anytime.
And any phone number, or would you
416-363-9728.
And email.
Helen@placeright.com. It's PLACERIGHT.
Perfect. Well, Helen, it's been a pleasure, and I learned something tonight because I really didn't know very much about feng shui at all, and I don't think I knew anything about the heart approach to feng shui, which, you know, kind of liking.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we are almost ready for our second guest.